Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life. Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move. Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hello there. My name is Michelle Brown Stafford, child prodigy mom and parental involvement activist, urging parents to get involved in their children's education. At the age of 13, our son, Stephen Stafford, became the youngest ever to enroll as a full-time regular student in Morehouse College's 150-year history. This occurred only after well-meaning educators failed to identify our son's gifts in the classroom. Knowing who our son was, my husband and I got involved and prevented Stephen from falling through the educational cracks. So parents, get involved. Stay involved. Your child's potential is definitely worth it.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
What do you want to say today? What do you want to know? Time started slipping away. Never lost its true meaning. Indigo children arrive, prophecy to be born. Do you recognize the signs? They're all around you. Time to shine that light and break out from the norm. Your daughters and sons, the universe is calling you. There's some healing work to be done. The universe is calling you. Build a legacy of love. The universe is calling you. When you gonna pick it up? Oh, life is so much more than that 9 to 5. It's so much more than the zeros and ones. We're living out of tune and rarely feel truly alive. When's the last time you walked barefoot on earth and with open arms embraced the sun? There's a miracle in your eyes. It's reflected in the sky. See, we are the rainbow children sent here to unify. You may not see it yet, oh no, but it's coming, oh yeah. I sing these songs to prophesy. The universe is calling you. Raise your daughters and sons. The universe is calling you. There's some healing work to be done. The universe is calling you. Build a legacy of love. The universe is calling you. Tell me when you're gonna pick it up.
Perfect time. Are you listening? It's time to shine your light. Be the rainbow that you are. You are a rainbow. Yes, indeed. Macaulay. The title of that song is Rainbow. It just jumped at me. It's like, play me. I wasn't even trying to play it, but I love it when I'm in tune and I listen because everything just comes together beautifully. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you for tuning in to yourself and tuning into Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. You make a difference because you exist. If that's all you ever do, you make a difference. Something you say, something, a thought you think, will make a difference in somebody's life. So thank you for being here. Thank you for showing up for yourself and joining this conversation. I just love life. Life is beautiful. I love it. If you want to find out more about Macaulay, you can go to Facebook. You know how to get to Facebook. Macaulay, M-I-K-U-A-K, last name, creative art, last name, Ray. R-A-I. And the title of that song is Rainbow. We all come together and shine that light. When we come together with our many colors, we see the white light. Get it? If not, Google signs or lights or vibration or wavelength, and you get it. But if not, it's okay. It is so nice to have you here. I'm excited. I am grateful. I am full of love, and I'm so grateful to see you all in the chat room, on the phone line, listening. And those of you that have questions, my dear sister friend, you will get your question answered. Just keep listening in. It's all about being in tune. The tune, the music of life, the universe. When you're in tune, you're in harmony. When you're in harmony, you just dance with life. Nothing is wrong. You're right where you're supposed to be. Just change your focus. If it's not feeling good, if you don't like the song that's playing and you don't want to dance, change your dance. It's your world. You can be and do what you want to do. Butterfly 1111. Nice to see you. Kali Dreamer. Huh? Welcome, tired listeners, disguised as guests. It is so nice to see all of you. Kefir, my brother, Spoke It Dog, Tamara Joy, Tracy. Tracy, I'm sorry, you can't swipe the show. You can listen to the show, but you can't swipe the show. That's an inside joke between Tracy and I. Tracy's the swiper. Betty is in the house. My co-producer doing her wonderful thing. Celeste's in the house. I welcome all of you. I am grateful. I am grateful. And you are listening to Ask Life Coach Ade. And today we are talking about messages from beyond. And the bond we all share with those we love, and we can just know that love never dies. Love never dies. Love, you can, that collision never breaks. Now there's a change of form, but we'll talk more about that. Kim is in the house. I was reading the book yesterday. Ooh, Lord. I don't know. I'll tell you later. But anyway, it's almost time to bring on my co-producer to tell you a little bit about what's going on over here. And the number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Now, those of you who may have questions, you will get an answer. But Kim is not doing readings. She's sharing her story. And if you listen, there's only one of us here. Even though your question can seem kind of unique to you, you realize there's a universal answer to your question. Stay tuned, stay in harmony, and let spirit be your voice. Speaking of spirit being a voice, let's bring on, oh, wow, how did that happen? Oh, what's going on? Mercury retrograde, I love you. Thank you for reminding me to relax, to listen again, to trust the process of life. And in that breath, okay, in that breath, let me bring on Teddy. Just wonderful things are happening over here. My universe, my computer's dancing with the universe. Betty, what are you doing over there? Are you dancing with the universe? Because I am. Let's try this again.
I'm dancing. Betty. I'm dancing with the universe, and I'm laughing listening to you. I tried to put it out of my mind if there's a Mercury retrograde. Is there? I don't think about such things anymore. But,
well, I'm sorry. When you're with me, we don't deny, we embrace. So you're around me, I'm going to let you see it, and then you realize it has no power over you because you're one with it. So it's all good. You know that. So anyway,
yeah,
I'll let you do your thing while I sit back and drink a cup of tea. Yeah, let me fix my
yada,
tea.
Yada, hey, yada.
Listen to this. Don't talk about me. Listen, I'm fixing my tea. Can you hear that? Okay, go. Do your announcement.
Well, for those of you, if you haven't caught my name, I'm Betty. I'm Ade's co-host on the first Wednesday and second Wednesday of each month for Spiritual Tag Team, which I haven't been on for a while. But I will be bringing you each day the going-ons, the coming-ins, and the going-outs of Life Conversations Radio. Now, all last week and all this week, we have been telling you about the new format we have for our chat room people when it comes to asking questions, and that is we are no longer taking questions from the chat room. Now, if you're in the chat room and you want to leave a question or ask a question to Life Coach Ade or his guest, you will need to go to the Ask Life Coach Ade page on Facebook. And there you will post your question, and we will get to it in order that it is received. Now, during the live shows, we are constantly on that page, so we'll be able to see anything immediately as you post it there. Now, for those of you who do not do the Facebook thing, you would then need to go to our radio website, which is lifeconversationsmedia.com, and there you will click on the Ask Life Coach Ade tab and send your questions into us that way. Now, this is a great option to use if you are choosing to send a question in, not only today, but any day of the week. This is a great option to use if you want to remain anonymous. Now, having said all that, tomorrow we have two great shows, which comes on every last Wednesday of the month. The first one is Conscious Parenting with co-host Michelle Brown Stafford, and that's at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, tomorrow the show's topic is going to be about race and culture in education. And so Michelle will be sharing and examining the different perspectives and approaches to education used by families of various races and ethnicities. So that's going to be a very interesting and informative show. And after that, 2 hours later, we have Ancestral Blueprints, and that comes on at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Lisa Iverson. Now, this is a show where you will learn how the unacknowledged truths in your ancestral blueprints is still or may be still influencing your life today. Now, we will begin Thursday, the month of December with a fantastic guest. Her name is Sherry Cortland. Now, Sherry is a spiritual growth accelerator, secretary to spirit, and she is the author of two best-selling books, Windows of Opportunity and Raising Our Vibration, which she will be sharing with us this Thursday. So if you want to know how to raise that vibration, that's a show you do not want to miss. And Sherry also will have a couple of special treats for you. So please tune into that show this Thursday, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, to learn more about our programming and our guests, please visit our radio website, LifeConversationsMedia.com. Thank you. Take it away, Ade.
I don't know about you, Betty. You're getting too good with this announcement. I was like, ooh, she's what show does she host? You're going to take, we're going to have to work something out. We're going to have to find a contact that you only do announcements, not my show. Thank you, Betty. That's another way of just saying you're good at what you do. But I don't mind telling it like it is. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you, more than I can put in words. Yes, you are listening to Ask Life Coach Ade. Today's topic is messages from beyond and the abundance we all share with those we love and know that is never broken, and not even by death. And we have a mother here who is going to share her amazing story. Oh, I just let her tell a story so we can live it all together. Because, ooh, Lord, yesterday was something. I was reading the book, and I couldn't put it together. And then I said, why put it together? Just let it fall apart. So I think I'm good now. But Kim Winslow is a mother, a wife, a gifted intuitive medium. She has always been interested and fascinated by psychic phenomena, near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, and spirit communication. However, she had absolutely no personal experience with any of them until God, the universe, said, I got something for you. Now, it may not be pleasant, because all of that changed September 20th, 2003, when her daughter, 20-year-old student of University of Minnesota, Elizabeth, who likes to go by Liz, died from an early morning fire at her duplex just blocks from the university. Kim now shares the truly amazing journey through the devastating loss of a daughter. She shares the premonitions she received prior to Liz's death, and as well as the message and signs she and others received from Liz after her death. And I tell you, don't step away from your computer. If you do, just turn the volume up. I welcome all of you in the chat room, those of you I've acknowledged, and those of you that just joined us, Mariana, Nahali, Rihanna, Rihanna, I guess, Sister Sirius. Thank you all for being here. Let's welcome, ladies and gentlemen, our guest, Kim Winslow. Hello, Kim. How are you doing?
Hi, Addie. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for being here. Thank you for showing up. And thank you for being an example of what is really true, is sharing with us and showing us that love never dies, because it can't and it won't. It changes, but always constant. Before we go into it, I know I read a little bit about you, but I want to ask you this question. Who are you? Who is Kim Winslow?
I'm a lot of different things. I'm a wife. I'm a mother. I'm a intuitive. I'm a medium. I'm a writer. I'm a speaker. Caregiver. I could go on and on.
I hear you. And a writer you are. So what I would do, before I talk about my experience, which I've shared a little, tell us your story, of tragedy to transformation.
Sure. Well, as you said, my 20-year-old daughter, Elizabeth, died in a house fire while she was attending college. And, of course, that was the most devastating thing that's ever happened to me and probably ever will. But very quickly, she started to send messages to me and to her father and to her closest friend and her grandmother. And in fact, within the first week of her death, she had sent out three different signs to three different people. and they all told them about me and or told me about them, and I just kind of took it all in, and I realized sometime later that she had actually given me a sign that next day, but I didn't comprehend it really until a few months later. But the day after she died, we had to go to the funeral home to, of course, plan her funeral, and it was probably one of the hardest things I ever had to do. And we got through it, and then the funeral director told me that I would need to bring in some clothing for Liz to be buried in. And I started to think about that, and suddenly I realized that, you know, she had taken everything with her when she moved to college, and so there was literally nothing left for her to be buried in. And I realized that I would have to go out and buy her an outfit, a final new outfit to be buried in. And I was I was so devastated, and I thought, and now on top of all that, I have to pick out an outfit. And we never agreed on clothes, and Liz was a big fashionista, and everything had to be just right, and every shopping trip was a day-long ordeal, and I don't like to shop, so it was always trying. But so that same day, I went out. My sister took me to a store in the mall that Liz used to work at because I knew that she did like the clothes there. And I remember when I walked through the door, I just said, you know, Liz, you have to help me because I have absolutely no idea what to pick. And then I just started to walk around, and I thought, well, hopefully something will just jump out and I will figure this out. And I only walked around for maybe 10 minutes, and I ended up picking out a light blue sweater and a pair of khaki pants. And I really had no idea if that's what she wanted, and I showed it to my sister, and she said, well, you know, it looks good. And I thought, you know, really, it doesn't make any difference, but that's what I went with. Mm-hmm. And a few days later, my sister-in-law came to me and told me that she had been going through pictures, and she had found a picture of Liz that she had taken at our last Christmas gathering. And guess what? She was wearing the identical outfit that I had picked out for her to be buried in. And at first I just thought, oh, good, you know, I guess I got it sort of right. And a few months later, the light bulb came on, and I realized that, yeah, I got it right because she really did help me to pick out that outfit. Mm-hmm. So that happened the day after she passed. And then a few days later, we had a visitation at the funeral home, and one of Liz's closest high school friends came through the line, and she hugged me, and then she kind of just stepped back, and she looked me right in the eye, and she just said, Kim, I want you to know that Liz has come to me and let me know that she's okay. And I said, oh, Cassie, you know, thank you for telling me that. And I wanted to ask her a million more questions, but at that point, I couldn't. But a couple of days later, Cassie was at my house, and we were standing in my kitchen, and I just said, Cassie, tell me what happened when you got that message from Liz. And she said, you know, I can't explain it. I was just driving around in my car, and I was thinking of all the memories that I had with her, and suddenly she was just there. I couldn't see her, but I could feel her. And she just said to me, Cassie, you don't have to worry about me. I'm okay. And I thought, wow, you know, that is amazing. And I was so grateful to Cassie for being brave enough to tell me that. Mm-hmm. And then the day after the funeral, my mom was back at the cemetery. And the cemetery is very close to both where we live and to where my parents live. And my mom was really insistent that we needed to have butterflies at the cemetery as a final goodbye. And so she had gone on the internet and ordered these butterflies and had them delivered in time for the service. And we had done that. And it was a very beautiful, touching thing. And so the next day, my mom is back there and, you know, just kind of staring in disbelief and trying to take in what really, you know, had happened. And it was just so hard to believe. Liz was her oldest granddaughter. And she just said, you know, Liz, if you're okay, please give me a sign. And then she left and started to walk back home. And at some point during her walk, two monarch butterflies flew up right in front of her, seemingly out of nowhere. And she realized that that was her sign from Liz, that she was okay. And then the 1 week anniversary of the fire, the fire where the house where the fire was opened up, and we could go in and salvage any possessions that we could. And so my husband actually made two trips up there that day, and he was by himself when he was coming home for the second time, and he just told me that, you know, he was thinking of all the events the previous week, and then he thought to himself, you know, I'm bringing her stuff home, but I just wish I was bringing her home instead. Mm. And as soon as he had that thought, he heard her voice, and she said, I'm already home, Dad. And that was a very powerful thing, because my husband is not a big believer in a lot of signs and messages, but that he really grabbed onto, and he shared it with me, which I was really thankful for as well. So I'm just thinking, you know, my gosh, it's been 1 week, and three different people have received a sign from her. And I thought, this is fabulous. I said, you know, Liz, I'm really not ready for anything right now. But when I am, I'll let you know. And then we proceeded to try to put our lives back together, and we went back to work, and my younger daughter went back to school. And before I knew it, it was October 20th, the one-month anniversary of Liz's death. And I was so distraught that I couldn't go to work that day, so I just stayed home, and I read through all the cards we had received, and I was still working on thank you notes. And that night, after supper, my husband and my daughter went into our computer room, and they were downloading some pictures, and I was cleaning up the kitchen. And as I put the last dish in the cupboard, our smoke alarm went off, and it was so loud. And usually, you know, you could tell where it's coming from in the house, but I couldn't tell. It was just so loud. So I immediately ran downstairs through our family room and each of the girls' bedrooms, and there was no smoke, there was no fire anywhere, and still this alarm just kept blaring and blaring. So I ran back upstairs through our laundry room, our kitchen, our dining room, our living room, and I was halfway down the hall to the bedrooms, and the alarm just quit. And I just stopped in the hall, and I just stood there, and I thought, that was really weird. Our alarms have never gone off like that before. And then I could hear my husband and my daughter talking in our computer room as if nothing had happened. And then it dawned on me, you know, why didn't they come out and, you know, wonder what was going on like I did? Mm-hmm. And then I realized, oh, my gosh, they didn't hear that. And then it just clicked, and I knew that was Liz, and she was giving me a sign on the one-month anniversary of her death.
Wow. And you were the only one that heard the sound.
I was the only one that heard it, yes.
Wow.
And I just thought, oh, my gosh, you know, she gave me a sign. I didn't even have to ask, and I got her message. And so a few days later, I thought, well, I bet I know how this is going to work. I bet this means that she's going to give me a sign on the 20th of every month. So about a week before November 20th, I said, okay, you know, I'm ready. I'm ready for another sign on November 20th, and I would tell her that every day, several times a day. And November 20th came and went, and absolutely nothing happened. And I thought, well, I guess, you know, that theory goes out the window. And the next day was Friday, November 21st, and it was just a typical day. I had gone to work, and it was about 10 o'clock at night. I was downstairs in our family room. I had fallen asleep on the couch with the TV on like I do many nights. And for some reason, I just woke up, and I grabbed the TV remote, and I changed the channel. And it was all done just very automatically without any thought. And when I did, the news was on, and they were showing scenes for an upcoming story that they were going to do. And they showed a cemetery, and they zoomed in on one particular gravesite, and there was a wind chime at that gravesite that was identical to the wind chime that we had at Liz's grave at the time. And that got my attention, and I thought, you know, I wonder what the story is going to be. Well, so I kept watching, and the story was about a woman who lived in Minneapolis, which is not very far from where I live, and she had claimed to have the ability to speak to the dead. And they showed her in a room with three or four other people, and she went to each person, and she gave them very specific information about their loved one. And I remember waking up the next morning, and I thought, did that really happen, or was that just a dream? I didn't even know what this woman's name was, but I knew I had to find out more. So I went on the website of the television station to try and find more information on that story, and I couldn't find anything. But what I did find was the email address of the reporter who had done it, so I decided to contact her. And I sent her an email, and I told her who I was and that my daughter had been one of the U of M students who had died in that house fire a couple of months ago. And I had seen her story last night about the woman who speaks to the dead. And did she know if this woman did readings for regular people? And, you know, if so, how could I contact her? I sent off that email, and a few hours later I checked, and I already had a reply. And the reporter was, her name was Randy Kay, and she now works for CNN. And she said, you know, I'm so sorry about your daughter. I remember when that fire happened. And yes, you know, here's Catherine's personal email address. Her name is Catherine Harwig. You know, contact her and she will give you all the details and tell her that I sent you. And then she went on to tell me that she had actually gone to Catherine for a session of her own to talk to her father who had committed suicide not too long ago. And she said it was amazing. It had helped her tremendously, and she was really a different person because of it. So I thought, okay, and it took me a couple of days to really get up the courage to email Catherine. But I did. I sent her an email, and I was really careful not to give her much information. I just told her that I had lost someone very close to me, and did she do readings for people? And she answered me right quickly as well, and she said, you know, I'm really sorry for you. Yes, I do readings for people, and I have a website that will give you all the details. So I immediately went to her website, and when you go, the first thing comes up is a little mini biography on Catherine. And so I started to read that, and I just about fell on the floor because there were so many similarities between Catherine and my daughter Liz. Catherine had also gone to the University of Minnesota, and she had gotten her majors were psychology and sociology, exactly the same as my daughter Liz's. She had gone on to get her master's in criminal justice, and she had worked for many years supervising dangerous criminals. Well, Liz's career goal had always been to become a criminal psychologist and work with dangerous criminals. And I could no one we could never understand why she wanted to do that, but that's what she had always said she wanted to do. Mm. And I had never met anybody else who worked with dangerous criminals until I read Catherine's website. And I realized, you know, without a doubt, that Liz had led me there and that if I would go to Catherine for a reading, that Liz would come through for me. And it took a little while to get set that reading up, but I did end up going, and it was an amazing, amazing experience. And I knew that Catherine would told me things about the fire and about Liz, that there's absolutely no way that no one else could have known that except from Liz. And it gave me so much comfort and peace. And Liz was so happy. She was jumping and spinning and driving Catherine a little bit crazy because she was just so happy. And it was a very, very powerful experience. And I ended up going back a couple of other times. And they were equally amazing.
I'm listening to you. It's like the it's because the part that you're sharing with us, the book, The True Stories of Messages from Beyond. In the book, you give more details, of course, it's radio, so we only have a certain amount of time. But the interesting
right.
thing that I actually want you to also touch on, especially for mothers, parents, fathers, you and Liz didn't really have, let me put it this way. Your relationship with Liz was very challenging, mother-daughter relationship, when she was on this side of the veil, when she was in the physical flesh. It was challenging. And tell us about that, because I remember the story, one of the your stories when she went to friends, and she said you felt like the whole house breathed a sigh of relief, like, whew, she's gone.
Yeah.
You can relax. Tell us about that side of the story.
Yes. My daughter Liz was what I would call a wild child. And she was always living life on the edge, and it drove my husband and I absolutely crazy. She did everything. She drank, she smoked, she experimented with drugs. She just did all this wild stuff, and we could never figure out why. And yet she, you know, the other side of her, she was highly intelligent. She was very motivated and driven to make something of her life, but yet she had these issues that would she would always act out, and as parents, it was just it was horrendous. And you know, I often say to people that have trouble with their kids, you know, really, and some people may not understand this, but dealing with her issues here when she was a teenager was so much more difficult than dealing with her death, because there I would go to, you know, policemen, I would go to doctors, I would go to psychologists, begging them to tell me what to do to turn her around, and absolutely no one could really give me an answer. And so it was very, very difficult. And you know, we loved her with every ounce of our being, but there she was just on this track, and you could talk to her until you were blue in the face, and she would you know, she had the mentality that, you know, she would always be fine. She was invincible. Nothing would ever happen to her. So it really was, it was so, so difficult. And when she died, I'm like, you know, and I was always tell her, you know, something is going to happen to you. And she'd just say, no, Mom, I'm fine. You know, don't worry about me. And then when she died, it was just like, well, you know, now the worst has actually happened, but I know where she is now. And, you know, I literally breathed a sigh of relief and I said, okay, God, you know, now you can take care of her for a while, because, you know, it didn't go so good when I had her. So, yeah, it was, that was a very, very challenging time for our family.
As I read the story, I was thinking as a mother, you as a mother, not me, just in case anybody was wondering, as a mother, I was thinking, because you talked about how you blamed yourself. You thought you weren't being good enough. And there was a letter, which we'll talk about later on, that brought everything around. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to ask about your husband, because your husband got that sign, and then it turned out that he didn't want nothing to do with the other side. Don't tell me about it. Don't give me that book. But I want to know where he is like now that you've found a new life. When, in a way, we can say that you lost your child, which you didn't. You know, she expanded. She went back to the nothingness from which all of us come from. But I want to talk about your husband and the new life that you stepped into. I guess if you really think about it, it was like the way I see it, like a resurrection. So when we come back, we'll talk more about that. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. The number is 347-426-3346. Are you dealing with grief? Have you lost a loved one? I have so many questions for Kim, and trustfully I'll get to it all, because we've heard people, mediums, who have said you can ask to speak to a loved one, but Kim has OCD, I'll use that word, so I'm not going to say it. She was able to do it, let's just put it that way. And so I have so many questions, but I know you do too. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. If you have any questions and you're listening online, go to our fan page, excuse me, that's Ask Life Coach Ade, Ask, A-S-K, Life Coach ADE on fan page on Facebook, and you can post your questions there, and Betty will get to it. And so we're going to take a quick break. Number once again is 347-426-3346. And if you want to see Kim's beautiful daughter, if you scroll down, those of you listening online, if you scroll down, you'll see a picture of her. Just wait for all the pictures to, it's like a slideshow. You see my picture, you see a symbol, Life Conversations Radio symbol, and then just keep watching. You say. So I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll be back. We'll be back. And this is where we dare you to live your best life, because you're here to do great things.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Imagine a world where bullying isn't considered a normal part of childhood.
A world where I'm not afraid to go to school.
To speak out.
To be myself.
A world where I'm not afraid to be caught alone.
Come on, punk.
We have the power to stop the bullying.
Speak out.
Speak up.
Educate.
Find out what to look for and how you can make a difference at bullying.org.
Bullying is not kids being kids.
It's not about good homes or bad homes.
It's not a normal part of growing up.
I shouldn't be afraid to get out of school.
To turn on my computer.
Message. A lock to my locker.
Did you know that a bully will stop his or her behavior in 10 seconds when their peers speak up?
Use your voice.
Hey, leave him alone.
We have the power to stop bullying.
Find out more at bullying.org.
Bullying.org.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Take a little shortbread, touchy nut bar. How many cheeks?
One. Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. To the community. To the community. To the community.
Giving a voice back to the world community, creating a platform for you to share and express yourself, your story, your reason for being, what you have to deliver. And you are listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. We are here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern, most of the time. But you can find out all the details about what's going on, or like Betty would say, the coming ins and then coming out, or going out, whatever, something like that, on LifeConversationsMedia.com, LifeConversationsMedia.com. If you want to find out more about me, you can go to my other website, lifecoachade.com, lifecoachade.com. And to find out about Kim Wenzel, you can go to her website. It is Kim, her name, Kimberly, but she goes by Kim. And it's Kim, K-I-M, Wenzel, that's WENCL.com. You can find out more about her. She is my guest. We're talking about a journey, a wonderful, pick up a copy of this book. It's a book filled with stories from many people who've lost, I can't even say they lost a loved one, who's released their loved one into the spirit realm. And Kim's story was just taking me through all kind of changes. So before the break, I was talking to you, Kim, about asking you really about your husband, because your husband, he got the sign when he went to collect Liz's belongings, and he was happy with his sign. And around the time when you went to see Catherine and getting messages from your daughter, and she was telling you she's fine, you struggled with telling your husband and other people because you didn't want them to, like you put it, you didn't want them to think you got off the edge. And your husband was sort of, was resistant to even hearing that story. Has he come around now? Where is he now with the whole messages from beyond?
Well, yeah, he's come around. He's more accepting. He still doesn't really, want to have any part in it. He always says to me, I got a sign from Liz. I really don't need anything else. And I'm like, well, that's fine. but literally, when I learned about Catherine and I knew that I needed to go see her, I really thought that he would come with me. And I remember, telling him about it. And he literally just put his hand up and just said, stop talking. I don't want to hear anything about it. She just wants to take your money.
Oh, he said,
and I am not going. And I just said, okay. But I knew I was going. And, it just kind of evolved. He's mellowed a little bit. We've just learned to really accept each other's differences in grieving. He grieves in his own way, and I grieve in my own way, and they're completely different, but, we just accept that in each other, thank goodness, and So we're still, happily married. Thank goodness for that, too.
Yes. I mean, that's an interesting thing, because the people who struggle with, they say, well, they're learning more about themselves, they're on a spiritual path, but they want their husband or partner, wives, whatever, to be on the same path, and they struggle with bringing people to learn what they learn. I mean, what I tell them is let people be where they are. What would you share with people who are in a relationship that, you know, like for you, I mean, not only are you in your spiritual path, you're talking to dead people, and you and your husband and doing it. You know, you're happily married. What would you share with people so they can actually find peace where they are right now?
Well, everyone has to follow their own path, and you can't worry about what someone else is doing and whether they like it or not. I mean, truthfully, if it would have come down to if I would have been forced to make a choice between my husband or my spiritual path, I would have chosen my spiritual path, as painful as that would have been. But I just knew that's where God was leading me, and I kind of just had to have faith that things would turn out however they did, and, I would get through it, and he would get through it. But thankfully, we just sort of, like I said, learned to accept each other's differences and stay together, but he won't be coming to my side anytime soon. And his way of grieving is he's very involved in Compassionate Friends, which is a grief support group for parents who have lost a child. So I occasionally will go to those meetings with him. And he also volunteers a lot at Salvation Army and Big Brothers Big Sisters. So that's kind of his way of coping. And my way is more I needed to connect with Liz, and I needed to, still have a bond with her, which I do. And so now I do that. My grief work is done through my writing and speaking and just sharing of my story with other people.
Yes. And you're an amazing writer. I mean, you really, your story brings people in. I mean, I was experiencing your stories and the things you went through. And I want to ask you, before your daughter made her transition, what was your life like? And what I mean by that, did you feel a sense of purpose? Did you feel like you're here for a reason, you were doing it? And or was that, did it change once your daughter made a transition when you made contact with Kathleen?
I always knew I was supposed to do something special, but I had absolutely no idea what that would be, and I didn't know what it was until Liz died. I just lived a very ordinary life. I went to school, went to college for a couple of years, I got a job, got married, had a couple kids, and worked, and life was, life was very good, but it was just very, very ordinary. And then, but yet I still always had, that innate interest in life after death and spirit communication. And I remember when I first learned about spirit communication, my sister had told me about John Edward, and he had a program on called Crossing Over. And when I found out about that, I started to watch that, and I would watch that literally every time it was on, which was every night at about 10:30, I think. And at that time, Liz was home. She was in between her junior and senior years, and she was sick that summer with mono and salmonella poisoning. So she was bedridden for most of the summer. So I would try to get her to watch that show with me, and she only watched it once, and then she would never watch it again. But she knew how much I believed in the possibility of that. And I strongly believe that played a big part in her connecting up with me so soon after her death. So, and what I say and what I really believe is that Liz and I agreed to all of this before we each came into this life. And, of course, we have free will, so we could have changed our mind at any point. But, she is really now my biggest cheerleader, I guess. She was a cheerleader here when she was in high school, but Now she's a cheerleader for me on the other side. And, you know, when I get up and give these speeches and radio shows, you know, I can feel her right next to me cheering me on. And it's a feeling like no other.
So let me ask you this. You said, you know, you and Liz agreed to this before you came here. There might be listeners saying, agreed to what? I mean, what do you mean agreed? How did you agree to this? Can you explain, break that down and just clarify that for
Sure. We agreed that she would leave early and that she would come back and give me messages and that I would share them with the rest of the world.
And because what you're talking about is our life is not just, we're not just in this body trying to figure it out. There's a soul part of us that already knows what its mission is about. And when all of us family members and friends and coworkers, it's a soul agreement. So the people who get on our nerves, the people we love, the people we can't stand, the people we just wish they disappear off the face of the planet, it's a soul agreement. So we better deal with it. That's what you're saying, right? Because
yeah,
that's what I really believe it's about.
Really right. You know, and it's not something that you really know on a conscious physical level, but yet, you know, I really believe that I knew that Liz was going to leave because and die because there were things that happened before her death and things that I said that I thought I said for one particular reason, and then after she died, I realized what I had said was true, but it was for a completely different reason. And it was like premonitions. I didn't consciously know that that's what they were until she had passed away, and then I realized that they were.
And you're talking about the experience when you were going shopping?
Yes.
Right, when you told her this is going to be the last time we do this.
Yeah. I always take, I took my girls shopping in August before the start of each school year. And in 2003, there was a really good chance that my job was going to be outsourced. And so I really debated whether or not we should still go shopping. And finally, I just decided, you know what, we're going to go because nothing is set in stone yet as far as my job. And so we're just going to go. And so we did. And we went to the Mall of America and we had a fabulous day of shopping, even though I really don't like to shop, but we had a great time. But I said to the girls, I don't know how many different times that day, that you'd better enjoy this, girls, because this may be the last time we ever do this. Well, of course, when I said that at the time, I thought I meant that, you know, if I lost my job, we wouldn't have money to go shopping. But 3 weeks after we went shopping, the fire happened and Liz died. So it took a while, but then I eventually did realize that, you know, some part of me knew that Liz was leaving. And then another thing that happened was when we moved her into that duplex was Labor Day weekend. It was September 1st, 2003, and it was really hot, and we had, you know, she took absolutely every possession she could cram into our vehicle, and we got it up there and got her bed in place on the second floor. And I was going to make her bed, and she and her dad were out bringing more things in, so I was alone in her bedroom, and I made up her bed, and when I got done, I just automatically pushed her bed up against the wall as close as I could get it, and I didn't even really know why I had done that, but there was this double window right on the wall, right above her bed, and I remember just standing there and staring out for a minute or two, and I remember thinking to myself, well, if anything ever happens, she can always jump out this window. And then, you know, I just thought it was a passing thought. I didn't think anything of it anymore until after the fire happened. And she was actually in her bed when the fire happened. She was literally inches from that window, but she couldn't get to it because she was so overcome with smoke. But then again, I realized that, oh, my, you know, part of me, some part of me knew that this was going to happen. And I really believe that she, on some level, she knew it too, because I had given her, I had won tickets at my job for a hockey game, and I couldn't use the tickets, so I had given them to Liz, and that was for the night of Friday, September 19th, and the fire happened in the early morning hours of Saturday, September 20th. So I gave her these tickets, And then my husband and I had gone up north, and I was debating with myself whether I should tell Liz that we were going to be up north because, again, you know, I thought, well, if she knows we're not home, she might decide to come home and just have a big party, and I did not want that. So I thought, you know what, I'm not going to tell her that we're going up north because it's just for the weekend, and we'll go and we'll come home, and she's never going to know the difference. So what happened was we went up north, she went to that hockey game, and she called our house from the hockey game and left us a message saying, you know, hi, Mom, this is Liz. I'm at the hockey game. The tickets you gave me are really awesome, so thanks a lot. Bye. And so, of course, then when we find out about the fire and we get home the next day and we hit our answering machine, and there were many messages on there, but one of them was from Liz from the night before. You know, it was just unbelievable. And so, you know, I too believe that some part of her, not on a conscious level, of course, but some part of her soul knew that she was getting ready to leave as well.
Mm-hmm. So her death really was a rebirthing experience for you when you found yourself in a whole new way as you've now started on this path of being an intuitive and medium. So do you actually do readings for people now? Do you help other people connect with their loved ones?
Yeah, what I like to do is email readings for people. So, you know, people can contact me through my website, and there's information on there about that as well. I can do in-person readings, but I'm still kind of grappling with this new piece of who I am, and it's kind of overwhelming to me at times. And so I try to focus more on sharing my story of my connection to Liz. But, yeah, I mean, I've done it. It's just sometimes it's just kind of nerve-wracking to do it. So I don't really do it a lot, but I can do it. So
let me ask you this, because and I know in the book you talked about how you went to Catherine, and Catherine was able to tap into the first visit. I think there was a man or your parents, and
yes,
they won't agree to you being here. But then she said there was this little girl, and you were actually able to make contact with your daughter, and which was it was less than a year after she had made her transition. As I was saying during the break, when we were taking a break, there are some mediums that say you can't just dial a loved one, if you will. You can't just say, I want to speak to my dad, I want to speak to my mom. Why do you think it was different with you, or what do you know about that? What can you say about that, really, about being able to specifically contact somebody that we need on the other side of the veil?
Yeah, that's a good question. And truthfully, I don't have all the answers. And I don't know really why it was so clear for me and why Liz came through so quickly after she crossed over, other than the fact that I think that this is something that we agreed to before we came into this life, and we were each following the path that we had agreed to. I guess what I say to other people is that, you know, this is available for everybody. There's not just certain people, special people, whatever, that can do this. Absolutely everyone can connect with their loved ones if they want to. And it's really, it's not rocket science. It's a matter of just talking to your loved one and paying attention to what goes on around you. And when something comes through, embrace it and believe that it's true. Thank your loved one on the other side and tell them to send you more. Because I really believe that our loved ones on the other side want to get through to us just as badly as we want to get through to them. And I think they try very, 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 very hard during the first few days and weeks and months and years after they pass to get through to us. And if we just don't get it, if we're just too stuck in our grief, they will eventually not try as hard. I mean, they've got marvelous new lives over on the other side, and they don't sit up there watching what we do 24/7. So if you can keep that connection going and let the person know that you understand that you got a sign, you got a message, you understand it's from them, to me, it's you're more likely to have things happen more often.
So let me ask you this. So what about people who might say, well, I hear you say it's not luck exciting, but it's easy for you to say because you already may conduct your daughter. But for me, I've asked for signs. Every now and then I think about my loved one or I smell them, but I think it's just my mind making it up. What would you say to someone to, for them to actually open up to much more than what they're, or I guess, the doubt?
Yeah. Well, it's really easy to have those doubts, and believe me, I had them too. But you just have to believe that what you feel and what you sense is real. And I would say to everyone, write it down, because once you write it down, you've got it there and you can always go back and read it. And if you don't write it down, you do, you know, you can go back in your memory and think of it. But later on, as time goes by, it's easier to talk yourself out of saying, you know, oh, that really didn't happen. I must have just been making that up. It must have been my imagination. But if you write it down shortly after, you know, it's happened, so it's so vivid and clear in your mind, it's much easier. And then you have a record. And if you could just do that every time something happens, and pretty soon you look back and you can point to all these instances that have happened that you probably would have acknowledged at the time they happened, but if you don't write them down, they truly don't stay in your memory, and you don't have that record of things.
And you know, and I guess I would share with listeners, you know, as much it's grief, and you can't explain your pain. It's not logical. It has its own logic, if you will. You can't explain it. So if you won't explain your grief away, if you won't say, oh, it's just me being too sensitive, oh, I lost a loved one, so I'd snap out of it. If you won't explain that away, then don't explain away. Don't get so rational about when you get an impulse or you feel something. Just let life happen. Let it be. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. And if you're getting messages and it's new to you, you think you're crazy, welcome home. This world is full of a bunch of crazy people, because you have to be crazy to be on this planet. Let's take a call. We got a listener. Celeste, how are you doing?
Oh, no, you didn't. I'm nuts. I'm not crazy. Hello,
yes, you are.
Kim.
Did you deny it? We're going
Hello.
To you up, but you better accept
okay, look,
it.
Look,
we know
mad
we're
hatter.
All a bunch of crazy folks living on this planet, pretending to be sane.
All right. There's the other nickname for him, Mad Hatter. Anyway, and if I spot it, I got it. I want to thank Kim because you dropped it. I was so excited. I already reached out to Kim because I just felt a kinship. And I have not read your book. This is all sensing, and it's a gift since my mom's death. But I want to tell you something. I usually call in with the gift, but you gave me one because I play with numbers, but people think I've played with numbers all my life, and I haven't. And there was an inside joke between my mom and I that I would never, ever do well in math because I would always fail the classes. But this one time I made an A. And she always said that she felt bad because the women in my family were conditioned to believe that they couldn't handle numbers. And so after she died, I started to see numbers a different way. And when I say that, because I know that my mom is very much so alive in energetic form, and we have a relationship. So here's your gift that I just figured out because I didn't know when she passed, December 17, 2005, when I add that number up, it's 9. I didn't do it before. 9 is the butterfly, Kim.
Oh.
And I found that out.
Yeah. Mm.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And the butterfly represents rebirth and new life.
Yes. Transformation. Mm-hmm. And 9 is also the crone, and it's about introspection. And I wrote this week in a text that I had to delete, but I remember it, that introspection leads the way to transformation. And that's my gift for you. You've confirmed more. You may not be reading, but you are. My mother is speaking through you, and thank you.
Oh, fabulous, fabulous. So glad I could help Celeste.
Mm.
Okay, I'm done.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you for being the oracle that you are and saying yes to your gifts. You're listening to Ask Life Coach at AOLifeConversationsRadio.com. The topic is messages from beyond and the love we share with our loved ones. And no matter what you're going through and growing through, even though you may have lost a loved one, a friend, someone so close to you, you think they're done forever. Well, maybe in a physical sense, but the love is always, always alive. Guess what? Love never dies. Love is much more than the emotion. Love is pure. It's what you are. It's the essence of who you are. And trustfully, you're finding freedom in this conversation. You're connecting. Maybe you're remembering something about a loved one. To find out more about Kim, you can go to her website. It's kimwenzel.com. And the last name is spelled WENCL.com. Kim, what about your other daughter, Ada? How does she feel about all of this? And it's almost, let me start there because I have so many questions. How does she feel about all of this and the signs you're getting and out there you're teaching the gospel of love never dies and just out there doing your thing?
Well, she's come to accept it too, and she believed in it, but she wasn't as opposed to it really as my husband was, but now she's very, she's happy with I tell her when things happen and she just kind of takes it all in and she believes that it's true, but she doesn't dwell on it. And she just, she knows Liz is fine and she just kind of moves on with her life in a good way. And just sort of, listens to me and takes in whatever I tell her and kind of goes on from there.
Which leads me to ask you this question. Where do you get the courage to keep moving on and sharing this story in a society where, yes, there are a lot more of us now that understands that there's so much more that's happening that we don't see with our physical eyes. We understand that love never dies. Some of us realize that it's just a transition, that even though they're not here in physical form, they're still alive. But generally, this is not something you can just go and speak about in a mall or some churches, believe it or not, which is funny. But anyway, I digress. Where do you find the courage to just keep sharing? What keeps you moving? What keeps you teaching? What keeps you showing up?
Well, I really believe that all of this, the signs and everything, and Liz's ability to connect with me and my ability to connect with her, I believe that's a beautiful gift from God. And I believe it's God-centered. And, at first I was very hesitant to tell people about this. In fact, I drove myself pretty much crazy trying to figure out who I was supposed to tell and who I wasn't. And finally one day I just said, you know what, I've had it. God, I can't do this anymore. And if I'm supposed to tell somebody about this, you're just going to have to give me a sign because I'm really sick and tired of trying to figure it out on my own. And I made that little announcement to God on a Monday. And the following Friday I was at work and I walked into the lunchroom to get a cup of coffee. And I was standing in front of the machine just waiting for my coffee to plunk out. And all of a sudden I heard this voice in my head and it just said, you need to write and maybe you will even write a book. And I just stopped short and I thought, what? I said, I don't know anything about writing a book. I've always loved to write. But, I picked up my coffee and I walked back to my desk and I couldn't stop thinking about that. And it took a while, but I finally realized by the end of the day that that was the answer to my dilemma. Because if I wrote about my story, then I wouldn't have to decide who would read it and who wouldn't. Those who weren't interested or didn't believe it wouldn't read it, but those who were would.
Right.
And so that
right.
was the night that set me on my writing course. And I literally sat down that night and started to write out my story. And I wrote all weekend. And I wrote for like a solid month and finished it up. And when I got done, it felt like a huge burden had been lifted off my shoulders for so many reasons. And then I just kept it. And I thought, well, I don't really know how this is ever going to become a book. But if it doesn't, that's fine because it's helped me so much in my grief journey. And it was literally a year later that I was on the computer on a Sunday night, and I think I Googled life after death. And the next thing I know, I'm on some accounting website out of San Diego, California, that's looking for true stories of messages from beyond. Well, hey, I had my story already written up. So without even thinking about it much, I stepped it off to the website. And the next morning I woke up and I thought, oh my gosh, what have I done? You know, I sent off my most personal of stories to a complete stranger. But a couple of days later, the gal behind the website contacted me, and she had lost her mother a couple of years previous, and she had gotten many signs and messages from her, and she knew how much they helped her. And so she was on a quest to collect stories from people around the country who had had similar experiences. And she just said, you know, I get these stories in, and I usually don't read them right away, but for some reason, when yours came in, I just opened it up and I started to read it. And once I did, I really couldn't quit. And there were so many names and dates in my story that were significant in her life. And so she immediately knew that, you know, this was meant to be, and that my story was meant to be included in her book. And then it was literally another year when the book, before the book was published. And I never traveled for my job, but that particular summer, we were sent out to California for a seminar. And it was very close to where Julie Eidlot, the author of True Stories of Messages from Beyond, lived. And so, you know, it didn't take me very long before I realized that, yeah, I'm going out for work for a seminar, but I'm really meant to meet Julie, and which we did. And so she gave me a copy of True Stories of Messages from Beyond. And it was just the most amazing thing to actually see my story in print in a book. And I couldn't help but think back, you know, to the 2 years previously when I had stood in front of that coffee machine at work and I had heard that voice in my head telling me that I need to write. And I thought, wow, you know, I listened and I did what I was told, and now my story is a book. And the only way that this could have happened is by God's design. So, you know, it's just when you get these messages, it's so important to follow through, even though you don't understand it, you don't think it's right. But if you do, I'm here to tell you that amazing things will happen. And it was the same way with me starting to speak. I mean, I went through the first 49 years of my life saying that, you know, there's certain things I will not do. And public speaking was number one on the list. But after my book came out, and I was so grateful to God for giving me all of these wonderful blessings and the connections. And I thought, you know what, I don't know if I can speak, but I know that, you know, God will help me, Liz will help me. And so Catherine Harwig actually hosts a monthly forum. And so I very sheepishly emailed her and said, you know, if you ever get really desperate for a speaker, I would be glad to do it. And of course she came back right away and said, yes, of course we want you. Of course we do. And I had like literally 9 months to get myself ready. And I would practice and practice and practice and practice. And I was as ready as I could have possibly ever been. And then I thought, you know what, now you just need to go and you just need to do it. And, you know, God will help you. Liz will help you. And I'm telling you, I went up there and I was able to speak with emotion, but without becoming emotional, and it was an amazing experience, and it was kind of like an out of body experience because I was doing it sort of, but it didn't feel real. It kind of felt like a dream, and I was kind of in the daze when I got done. And people would come up to me and say, "Oh my gosh, you're such a good speaker. You must have been doing this for a long time." And I'm like, "No, actually, it's the first time I've ever done this."
Wow! Wow!
Like, well, it's
before
not
you
me.
Go,
it's God.
I
it really
want you
is.
To
oh.
tell us. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I want you to tell us, give us a short story about, because I want to read the letter that Liz wrote.
Sure.
But just tell us what happened on the day, well, 3 years after she had made her transition. There was an article that was supposed to come out in the USA Today, and that day you picked up the copy, and you were excited, you couldn't wait to see it, and then you started to read it. Tell us what happened from there.
Yeah. Well, it was a big article on all the fatal off-campus house fires across the USA, and it was written with the intent to warn the current college students who were moving off-campus. And, you know, I was really excited that a paper of this size is going to focus on this subject, and I wanted to do whatever I could to keep other families from losing, you know, a college-age child like we had. And so I was so excited that they were doing this article. And I remember stopping at the store on my way to work, and I bought 3 copies of the paper, and I just couldn't wait to get to my desk so I could read it. And I got to my desk, and I read it, and once I did, I mean, my world just came crashing down, because it wasn't meant for someone who had lost a child in a fire to read. It was meant to as a deterrent for current kids. And so I was pretty devastated, and it felt like the day she died all over again, and just the senselessness of all these deaths. It really, really hit me, and I was having a very, very difficult time. And of course, I had told everybody at work that this was coming out, so all day long I had people stopping at my desk to read the article, and it was all I could do just to keep from breaking down. And I thought, you know what, I threw the papers on my back credenza, and I thought, I'm just going to focus on my work. And so I worked in international customer service, and we did everything by email. So I just started to go through my emails and think about my job and not about this article. And pretty soon I came to an email that I had gotten from Liz's high school French teacher. And she had been Liz's favorite teacher, and we had kept in touch after Liz's death, and I had told her about this article, so I assumed when I saw her email that that's what she was writing about. But she wasn't. She said, you know, Kim, you're not going to believe this. I was in my classroom yesterday cleaning out my file, getting ready for another school year, and a lone file folder fell on the floor. And I reached down and I picked it up, and on the outside I read, Liz Wenzel essay. And I opened it up, and I discovered an assignment that I had given out over 5 years ago. And the assignment was to write a letter to one of your parents in French telling them what they represent in your life. She said, Kim, this is a letter that Liz has written to you. And, of course, I don't speak French, so Jan had to translate it for me. But it was the most beautiful letter any parent could ever, ever hope to receive from their child.
And well, I'm going to read totally it so people can get a sense of it. I'm going to read it now.
Yep. Okay.
And she said, Dear Mom, I know that you love me. You show me each day that it is true. Don't think you're a bad mother. It isn't true. When I look at you, I realize how much I am loved. When you're feeling bad, don't forget, I truly love you. I would like to be a better daughter. We argue sometimes, and that makes me sad. I feel bad and unhappy if you cry. I remember when I was little, and you would hug me and say, I love you so much, Lizzie. Sit here with me for just a little while. Those times were so special for me, and you made me so happy. I felt like nothing could ever hurt me. I used to wish those moments would never end. To be cuddled up next to you, like that day would be to be cuddled up next to you, like that day today, would be like a dream come true. Mom, I feel sad when you feel sad. And when you are happy, I am happy. You are my mother, and I would never choose anyone else. Without you, I would never be who I am. I love you with all my heart. Kisses, Liz.
Whew. Yeah.
She's determined to stay in connection with you, and I definitely get that whole thing about you and her have agreed on this. It's a soul
appointment.
And thank you. Thank you for keeping your part of the agreement, because she definitely is keeping hers as she floats in the universe and enjoy life. And as we get ready to release this show, is there anything else you want to share with listeners or something that's bubbling up for you?
You know, I would just tell everybody out there that's hurting and has lost a loved one to talk to them, because, you know, like we said at the top of the show, love never dies. And the bond that we all share with those we love is never broken, not even by death. And that brings me so much comfort. And I know that that's available for each and every person out there who's missing a loved one today.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Kim, for sharing your story and for listening and following through. You truly are making a difference, and I give thanks for you. Thank you very much, Kim.
Thank you.
Woo, life is good. It's getting better. To find out more about Kim, you can go to her website. It is kimwenzel.com. Kim, K-I-M, last name is Wenzel. It's W-E-N-C-L.com. The story of love, really. It's more than a story of a mother and daughter. It's the story of love, that love is the only thing that is real. The common theme that I get listening to Kim is she listened and she followed through. And not only that, she stayed aware, awake, and listened and looking for signs. Don't let people tell you you're crazy. And if they do, tell them. If they say you're crazy, let them know that's because you're fully awake. There's so much more going on in the invisible realm. So much more. And love is real. So you think of your loved ones that may be giving you hell. They're here for a reason, just for your spiritual growth. But remember, love is real. The smell, the letters, the conversations. Keep them alive. Keep them alive. We are so much more than what we see in the mirror. And If you've lost a loved one or not, pick up a copy of this book. There's the stories of a lot of people, I don't know, maybe about 10 or so people that lost a loved one or whose loved one has made a transition, because you never lose them. They're still here. They're just not in the body. True stories of messages from beyond. And I'm sure you can find out from Kim via her website how to get in touch, how to get a copy of that. And Kim is such a beautiful writer. I mean, yesterday I was in tears. I had to stop reading. I started thinking about life, my friends. And if I lose someone now that's so close to me, how would I be? How would my life change? I was, oh, my God. I may even need therapy. I think I have to call Kim after this. Well, you know, my final word, the only thing I got to say is love is real. Know that you make a difference. Know that you're here to deliver your gift. Know that you're here to deliver the gift of love. And no matter what is going on in your world, the pain, the challenges, you know, there's something good on the other side. In reading Kim's book, I mean, she shares the real story. There are times, even as she shares now, the time where she has the sad moment. Sometimes we get confused that, okay, if we're connecting with them, we shouldn't feel sad. We shouldn't do this. No, there's nothing you shouldn't do. All you got to do, need to do, is be. Embrace the moment. Embrace what is showing up. Unless you embrace the pain, unless you embrace your life, you will never be completely free. So freedom lies in embracing what is happening now, what is happening in this very moment. When you embrace what is happening, it may be painful, you may not like it, and embracing doesn't mean denying it, it's recognizing it, sometimes putting words to it. Don't get caught up saying, well, if I speak, it doesn't mean I'm creating it. Listen, you're already going through it, okay? So don't worry about that. Embrace it. Ask what you need to learn from this. What's the message for you? Become conscious about who you are. Be consciously aware. Be a conscious participant of your life. And know that love is the only thing that's real. And, you know, people say love don't pay rent or all that other stuff. That's because people say that don't know what love is. When you know what love is, love takes care of everything else. It's time to release the show. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you, and I thank God for you. We ask that you share the show with your friends, your lovers, your haters, your pets, your neighbors, people on the street, people you've never met before. Tell them about the show. We are here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Also, we invite you to like the page you're listening on right now, even if you're listening to the archive, and just tell people about it. Come back, check out our website, And what's our website? Life Coach. No, it's not. Well, that's part of our website, but lifeconversationsmedia.com. And if you're looking for a wonderful psychic and intuitive, somebody who's so loving, who I love so much, you can check out. Okay, you can check out this website. It is BettyPeggy.weebly.com. Betty, B-E-T-T-Y, Piggies, P-E-G-U-E-S.weebly.com. You will see a wonderful woman who is just waiting to connect you with yourself, with your truth, be a catalyst for your transformation. That's my co-producer. Life is good, it's getting better. Be true to yourself. Be grateful. And more importantly, be loved. We'll see you tomorrow for Conscious Parenting and Ancestral Blueprints. And on Thursday, we have Sherry Cortland, who is going to join us talking about raising your vibration for the new age and messages from her spirit guides and the things that are happening on the other side, the things sometimes you can't explain. It's going to be a great show, and check out the upcoming. There's so much is going on. I love my life, and I'm so grateful to be able to share it with you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for just being willing to tune in to the universe. That is you.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
We dare you to live your best life. And this is Sherry Marie, and this is Because You Love Me. To find out more about Sherry, you can go to Facebook. It's Sherry, C-H-E-R-I, Marie, M-A-R-E-E. This is Because You Love Me. I love you. I look forward to seeing you on Facebook. Like us, Ask Life Coach Ade on Facebook. And Life Coach ADE, and send us an email, ask@lifecoachade.com. I don't hear the music. Oh, there it is. Thank you for being here. Peace and blessings.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move. Life Conversations, we dare you to live your best life.